The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Benson, I'm your host. It's Wednesday. I don't care. It's a Brady Quinn football show. Hey, Brady.
Look at you right now, man. The hair is looking amazing.
The hair is all over the place, bro.
You look like either a frat guy from the 90s or you look like a mountain man. One of the two. Maybe a combination. Who knows?
Well, that's not that far off.
That helps us segue into our first topic of conversation,
which is, of course, a big
as you look at the rundown.
Man, I love having you on the podcast.
Yeah, hey, you want to talk to people about quinoa and how it upsets your stomach?
No, not really. I really like quinoa.
Okay, behind the scenes, Will may or may not be having some stomach issues.
He brought up the fact that
some quinoa is not sitting well with him.
My
comment to him was, most people tend to eat quinoa when they're having stomach problems. Not like quinoa is what caused me to have stomach problems.
You remember the movie Ace Ventura?
Yeah, of course.
Right. When he asks, he's like, hey, Ace, you got any more of that gum? They said, I'm going to reply to you in the same way. That's none of your damn business, and I'll thank you to stay out of my personal affairs. Andy in the chat says, let's talk rookie QBs.
Okay.
You want to talk rookie QBs?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Give me the list of all the quarterbacks taking the first round of the past 5 years. Go. Just kidding.
I'm joking,
Brady.
Good God.
Don't get all upset about it. So this is sort of the discussion that we were having in a group chat. Is like where you would slot out not necessarily this class. And I asked Ryan Wilson this too. He said, I'm not sure if he was doing it like pre-draft or not, but like, yeah, because basically the discussion started about the Bears trading the first overall pick. And I suggested in this chat that it's a lot harder to trade the number one overall pick than people think. It's like, we'll just trade one. Well, the problem is you have to have one, a team that's willing to come up, which means you have to have quarterbacks that are desired enough that a team will move to the number one overall pick. You have to have a team that is willing to sacrifice several current or future first round picks, more than likely.
Yeah.
And you also have to have a team that is within the striking distance of the first overall pick in a way that whoever has one is willing to move down. For instance, the Panthers might want the first overall pick and they might be willing to give up a number nine and a future first. But would the Bears be willing to move from 1 to 9, knowing that puts them out of the range of getting like a, Will Anderson, et cetera, et cetera? And I think that's, as you think, it's a little more difficult. It's only happened once since the 2011 CBA changed the way the first round picks are paid. I just think it's a little bit harder to trade the first overall pick than people think.
Yeah, there's a number of reasons for that, right? Is there a consensus true number one can't miss prospect at the quarterback spot? There's probably reservations with every one of the quarterbacks in this year's draft class. So you don't have a Trevor Lawrence. You don't have a Joe Burrow. You don't have a Caleb Williams like you'll have next year. So there's some questions. Now, I will say this. If Bryce Young was a little taller, a little heavier, he would be that guy. He is that guy to me. It's just, you know, you got to put him in a position where he's able to excel within a system that isn't going to do things that don't help the fact that he's not the biggest guy.
You wouldn't want him running like Justin Fields does. You know, like
No, clearly not. I'm not sure. I'm not even sure the Bears want Justin Fields running as much as Justin Fields runs. But the thing about it that's always funny to me is Bryce Young has been this size for a while now. He's won the Heisman. He's excelled to be one of the best, not the best quarterback during his tenure at Alabama in college football. He was one of the best coming out of high school at that size. And you can say, what's the NFL level now? Things change. Things are different. You're right. Like, guys are even bigger. It's even harder to find passing lanes. But, you know, he knows how to do all of those things. And I think the thing that impresses me the most about him is his football IQ. You can tell in regards to him being such a good decision maker, his anticipation and the way he's able to manipulate a defense. And he also protects himself. So I'm not as concerned about the lack of size, because kind of similar to Russell Wilson, getting back to his time at NC State and Wisconsin, he moved around a lot too, but he also was able to get down and protect himself from some of those big, big hits. It's different than some of the other quarterbacks you see that tend to be more mobile. So I got Bryce Young at the top of this draft class. You know, how does he rank compared to, or how's this draft class rank compared to last year's? I think it's better than last year's. I'm trying to think of.
Last year's draft class is either the worst or the second worst quarterback draft class since the new CBA. And I think the new CBA is important because, you know, just of the.
I would not agree with that.
Who's 2013 and then last year, right?
Well, yeah, I'd say like 13. I'm trying to go through the years, but it's a little early to tell. One with that draft class, we're
sure. You know, look, Goff and I'm saying like at the time, not necessarily like now, but like at the time, like of the draft last year's, it was like there might not be one taken in the first round. Same thing, you know.
Okay. If you're talking about from that perspective, yes, that's fine to say.
Yeah, I'm not judging him like because I mean, you know, Wentz went two, and now Wentz.
I wouldn't say this draft class is better than 2 years prior, right? Like if you're kind of looking at how these classes stack up.
Well, all right. So let me frame it this way for you. I'm gonna list six quarterbacks, and this is the order that I would have had them ranked coming into the draft. These are recently drafted guys, and you can disagree with the ranking however you want.
This is coming out of college, correct?
Coming out of college, correct.
As prospects, okay.
As prospects. And I
put it right now. I'll put it right now. Burrow, one.
I got Trevor
Lawrence, two.
Oh. Okay. One and two is easy. Burrow and Lawrence, and there's a big drop-off after that.
I don't know that there's a big drop-off. You know, I think Herbert was one that you looked at and you said he's got the size, he's got the arm strength, he's got the athleticism, super smart kid, everything you love about him.
Stupid organizations.
Well, and now I think in retrospect, you say, it was the Oregon offense. You couldn't figure out what exactly to put your finger on. You're like, it was the Oregon offense.
Yeah.
But even then, even despite the Oregon offense, he got better year after year after year after year. So that was kind of the one where you're like, all right, like, you know, hopefully he gets in the right situation and people can, you know, allow him to push the football down the field, do what he's capable of doing, which clearly, you know, the Chargers move on from Joe Lombardi. So they don't even think that Joe Lombardi was allowing him to do that. So hopefully Frank Reich gets that position. He'd be perfect for Justin Herbert. Man. I digress. I'm trying to think. You know,
here's the list I had. Lawrence, one. Burrow, two. And I can flip them. I don't care either way. But they're one and two for me easily. Kyler, three. Tua, four. And Herbert, five. And that was obviously wrong. I just didn't like Herbert, and I was dead-ass wrong about it. And then six Fields. And I'm curious where you would put Bryce Young on that list of six quarterbacks.
I would put Bryce Young for me based on the tape and everything else. If you're excluding like the size and how he's going to project, he would, to me, be he'd be after Burrow, ahead of Lawrence. Like, he does things on tape that you just don't see other quarterbacks do. You just don't see them do. I mean, I'm telling you, the throws he can make at every single level, short, intermediate, downfield, the way he layers throws, he's got the fastball. He doesn't have to have his body aligned to a throw. Now, maybe it's not so much his arm that's like whippy like Patrick Mahomes, but he's got this really incredible ability to have like his feet kind of the wrong way or twisted the wrong way and spit the football out incredibly accurately. I mean, it is one of the most unique things to watch in Bryce Young watching film. The only thing I can say is, like, I genuinely enjoy it. Like, if I'm having a bad day, I'll put on Bryce Young film and I'll just sit back and smile, because you don't see many people play the game the way he does. He's playing at a different level. As for a guy who burst on the scene his first year, won the Heisman, he was doing things that you don't see guys do in their first year starting. He's just wise beyond his years. He's a humble kid. He checks every box you're looking for. The one thing people are going to hold against him is his size. And that's it. But I think he'll be able to overcome that. I think the league's at a different point now, too, where we look at smaller quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, for example, you mentioned, number one overall. You know, Kyler was one of those guys that he only had 1 year starting. And in that 1 year, he was phenomenal. Dynamic athlete, all of that. But when you looked at the offense itself that Lincoln Riley runs, it's kind of feast or famine. It's like quick screens, quick passes, RPO, you know, or shot downfield. And you're going, okay, how is that exactly going to translate to the NFL? You can't just throw it to the outside. And a lot of times shorter quarterbacks have problems throwing over the middle because they can't see quite as well, right? Especially if you're sitting from the pocket. So there's all those things that kind of concern you and you look at. But to me, Bryce Young, based on the tape, would be sitting right there amongst that group. You know, C.J. Stroud compared to Justin Fields is an interesting one, because if you looked at Fields as a passer at Ohio State, you know, I would say Stroud's more accurate. Fields has a stronger arm. Obviously, Fields demonstrated the ability to take off and run, and I don't even think he even used it to the extent that he's doing it right now in the NFL. And we didn't think Stroud could, and then he did it in his final game. You're going, okay, he's capable of doing that if he needs to. So those two I'd have kind of as like neck and neck, even though I do think, you know, Justin Fields has a different type of leadership quality, and maybe I feel that way about him more now after the fact, because it's not like C.J. Stroud didn't show that or display that too at Ohio State. But I think those two would be tough. I'd probably give the slight edge to Justin Fields, at least coming out of college. You know, we talked about Trevor Lawrence, talked about Kyler Murray, kind of touched on everyone for the most part. Tua's a guy, again, loved his game. Just the injury concerns were really big for me coming out of it. His game, how it would translate. You saw times him be able to fit throws into tight windows, make some special throws. And again, you saw that kind of that sense of timing and all of it. But you also saw the way he would extend plays. You're like, that's not going to work at the NFL. Like, you can extend plays to a degree, but even amongst that play, once you break out of the pocket, you got to throw a run. You know, you can't be moving around too much. And in his case, in college, he got hurt. And even in the NFL, he still sustained some of the same injuries. So that's how I'd kind of categorize some of those guys.
I like it. I think that's really interesting, though, what you said about Bryce Young, just putting him above. And by the way, if you want more draft talk, check out With the First Pick, our new draft podcast with Ryan Wilson and former Vikings GM Rick Spielman.
He's a part of an offense that was led by Bill O'Brien, a former offensive play caller and head coach in the NFL. It's an NFL system. Like, he walks in, and I'm telling you, anyone who gets around this kid, who has a chance to interview this kid, who gets him in their board, puts him off the board, he's going to crush it. He's such a unique talent. And it just comes down to whether or not an organization is able to get over the fact that when you shake his hand, he's not going to be like Trevor Lawrence. He's not going to be like Justin Herbert, who has this huge Adonis effect as a player. You know, he looks small when he's out there. But the way he spins the ball around.
No, the Brady Quinn effect. It's the Brady Quinn effect.
I don't know if we're calling it that, but he's a very, very unique talent.
Hey, you're a tall, strapping lad.
Yeah. And look, some people feel like you have to have that to play in the NFL. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to sustain a guy for 17 weeks and stay healthy. And look, I think you see smaller guys, and we've seen that. Like you mentioned, Tua still has injury issues. Zach Wilson, injury issues. Kyler Murray, injury issues. Like, you start going through it and you look at the smaller size guys, like, yeah, like, they're going to suffer more injury issues, especially if they can't figure out how to get rid of the football quick and can't utilize that.
I'm healthy. Healthy young. Healthy short guy here. Let's move along. But, I think that's interesting because it, just for the sake of trading number one, like, I think if NFL teams feel the way you do about Bryce Young, and I do think there's an interesting component to it of, like, Russell Wilson kind of changed things for a little bit with shorter quarterbacks, like Baker goes one overall, Kyler goes one overall. I think Russell's impact on the league, having fallen to the third round, probably changed that. But now you sort of wonder with him struggling, you know, is there like an ebb and flow when it comes to the short quarterbacks, or is that just?
Yeah, I mean, look, you had a Hall of Famer in Drew Brees that I think helped somewhat pave the way for them. There's some other guys you could throw into that conversation probably, but you know, after, you know, Breeze won the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and then you saw Russell Wilson, and he probably slid because of his size. Because again, you go back to his time at NC State, he was prolific, man. I mean, he was a good player. He was a good player at Wisconsin. He had all those tools and intangibles that you're looking for. The only thing was the size, and it's, yep, it still forced him to be, ended up falling to the third round.
Literally just because of the size.
Yeah, and then look, with Kyler Murray, I think it's really interesting. Had it not been Cliff Kingsbury, who was the head coach, who had a prior relationship with him, who could have won an offense that plays to his skill set, you got to wonder, you know, would he have been the first overall pick? Would Steve Keim have kind of convinced Michael Bidwell to sign up for that partnership, if you will, now considering the fact that you're not, you don't have any of that. You don't have Steve Keim as general manager. You don't have Cliff Kingsbury as your head coach, but you still have Kyler Murray in your contract.
Yeah, it is an interesting situation there. So let's talk about some stuff around the league of import and note. What? Quarterback sneaks. What's the deal with quarterback sneaks? It's the new thing. Is like the quarterback sneaks and the running back sprints up behind him and pushes him. One, how did this sort of become happened? And two, why aren't people like putting offensive linemen in the back and having them push the quarterback through? That's
what you do with Patrick Ricard, right? The fullback of the Ravens. He's big enough to be an offensive lineman almost. So it almost looks like that's the intent. I've got a question that I really don't have many answers from it. I mean, obviously the rule was changed. You used to not be able to help aid a ball carrier, you know, moving forward. You couldn't push, couldn't pull.
Push.
Now you're able to push them. And now it's getting to the point where, you know, you see teams doing it and they're getting two, sometimes up to 3 yards from it. And they're picking guys up and like carrying them, which I'm looking at going, okay, I understand the intent of why they initially had outlawed it. And now they are allowing it, but you look at it and it kind of seems like it's venturing into a dangerous play where you've got everyone down around the line of scrimmage and they're boxing all together. And you got 300-pound dudes in the backfield who are just shoving your multi-multi-million-dollar quarterback forward through the other 300-pound men into the other 300-pound men who are there to stop them. It just seems like a recipe for disaster. And yet we then compare it to or contrast it with roughing the passer, where an edge rusher or a D tackle sniffs or sneezes on a quarterback and he's called for a penalty. It's like, I don't know. I'm not so worried with the way the defender takes the guy down to the ground. I'm more worried with the 300-pound guy who's lifting and carrying the guy that's the quarterback into the other guy that's 300 pounds, into the other guy preventing him behind more guys trying to prevent him, and that whole mosh pit of people. Like, isn't this going to end poorly for a quarterback at some point? And maybe the NFL goes, huh, we didn't think about this. Maybe we should take this rule back.
Reactionary NFL, you know, is always right. Well, it's like the
isn't this a passing league? Like, aren't we trying to entice teams to throw the football? If you outlaw that, maybe teams are throwing more on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, whatever the case is, some sort of simple, easy completion or screen. It seems like now, and the Tyler Huntley play is the one that stands out because it basically gave Cincinnati the game, right? The Sam Hubbard return for a touchdown. But they were trying it from the 2, dude. Like, they were, and the best was, this kind of leans into another question, but, you know, they were, 0.6 yards away from the goal line? Because apparently there's chips and footballs, which I was unaware of.
Before we get to the microchips, by the way, I am curious. Yeah.
But still, it was 0.6 yards away. That means, think about that.
1.4 yards. Over,
like, more than a foot. Like, you're like, that's not even close. But they tried to run a quarterback sneak from there. Like, what the hell is going on now with this?
Is this quarterback thing? Because, you know, if you see like a Raiders fan or somebody played for the Raiders or somebody worked for the Raiders back when in 2001, and you mentioned like, you could accidentally say the word tuck like around them and they like freak out. Is this pushing of the quarterback triggering for you as, you know?
Oh, okay. I see where you're going for.
No, I don't like asking.
The age old debate with this is, and I've always said this to Matt and Reggie, it's like it was illegal then, yet they get away with it and they get a win from it. But then now that it's legal, they feel like it's justified. And I'm like, hold on a second.
That's not how rules
work. So if you're speeding, all right, you're going over 60 miles an hour and you get a speeding ticket because you're driving 74, okay? And let's just say hypothetically, you know, 8, 9, 10 years later, they change that highway to 75 miles per hour. And you're like, well, I'm going to contest this ticket. I was going under the speed limit now. that doesn't make it right back then. So that's more of that's it's not triggering at all. It's more of the logic that like people try to use behind it, or like, oh, I was taking money back in college. Now it's legal for NIL. Well, it wasn't legal then. It's like, it doesn't make it right. Like in retrospect now, it's like, I mean, that wasn't how it was supposed to be working. I don't know. Maybe I'm a stickler for the rules.
That's how rules work. Like if they get changed, it's fine. But if they're not changed, it's not. By the way, I sent Billy the screenshot. Look at this five. That's Reggie Bush. Like, he's absolutely like blasting Leinart. Like he's launching him to the end zone. It's not legal.
Well, I always explain. Yeah. I mean, again, there's your definition. By the way, kudos to them though. Like that was on what the one, I think the ball was spotted, you know, and they're trying to quarterback sneak. So it's kind of crazy.
Leinart is actually facing Reggie. He tried to sneak. He got spun around.
He got blown back and then he spun. And then Reggie just bench pressed him basically into the side of the line in the end zone.
Would you like to retroactively?
I want to see if Billy can find a screenshot of the touchdown I had before this to put us up. Because there is a stark contrast. And Billy, I'll try to vamp. You can try to work fast to find maybe a screenshot or a grab of it. But there's a stark contrast between these two plays. There's this one where Reggie is pushing Matt, who initially got, you can see the surge, by the way, by our D-line and everyone up front. And then he spins off and Reggie pushes him in. And if you contrast it with my touchdown, it's the exact opposite. I've actually got like a USC defender that's on my back that I'm like dragging into the end zone. I think it was Keith Rivers.
Actually got the screenshot. I'll send it to Billy right now. I just found it. Man, you were pretty pretty quick for as big as you were.
I guess I'm known for my quickness, not known for my speed down the field, even though I did have a couple of our longest runs, I think, my last 2 years in college. But no, this is not triggering in any way. It's just more of it's interesting that the NFL has changed the rule. And I'm waiting for there to be an injury where someone goes. I mean, Mahomes doesn't even do it anymore, by the way, because he got injured doing it.
Yeah.
But see, very stark contrast, right, between
you're about 0.6 yards. You're about 0.6 yards away and you still got in.
Still got in.
All right, so speaking
of very stark contrast between the two touchdowns and one needing a little extra help, one not so much. Okay. Right.
So take that, Leinart.
I just want to paint that picture. Okay.
You should like file a lawsuit against Leinart and Reggie Bush, just a frivolous lawsuit and just see that you guys.
What I should do is trademark it so I own it. And then every time they use it, they have to pay me for it.
There you go.
That would be like the level ahead of them because they wouldn't think to do that, right?
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah! So you get 0.6 yards. We found out within seconds of Tyler Huntley attempting to sneak the ball into the end zone that he was 0.6 yards away because the NFL Next Gen Stats account let us know that with the microchips in the football, and this sent everybody in a tizzy. They're like, I'm sorry, what? You have microchips? And instead you're choosing to use several geriatric men like 25 yards away?
With sticks. What do you think, Bill? I don't know. I think it was about right here. Okay.
Did you see what happened on our Jimmy? He's like, no.
The chain is tangled up. We got to unchangle the chain. It's going to be a minute. It's going to be a minute.
And the chain is like only official on one side of the field, too. It's like, well, I got to bring it in from the other side.
Yeah, you only got one side of it. I mean, we've advanced to like the digital ones, right? I think they have like the laser or something. I don't know.
But I mean, remember our colleague Gene Steratore a few years ago used an index card. He put an index card between the foot. He's like, well, as you can clearly see, this is not a first down.
I mean, with that one speed up the process of determining first down, fourth down, like whatever the situation is. And on top of that, it eliminates the onus on the TV networks to provide a clear and definitive angle, whether they're breaking the plane or even just the yard market, like the yard to gain. Like this would clear up a lot of ambiguity right now in the NFL, but no one wanted to tell us there's chips in the footballs. Like, man, what do these things look like? How much do they weigh? Maybe they played an impact in Brett Maher's kicks that kept sailing right. Like, maybe it was the chip in the football.
Maybe he had unvaccinated footballs, and that's why they wouldn't go through the uprights. No, we're not going to make vax jokes? Okay, I thought we were going to do that. All right, never mind.
I don't know. Is it too soon? I don't know what's too soon. I stay away from all that.
I made a joke like that on the radio, and it got a laugh, so I thought I'd try. You got to be a volume shooter out here in these streets, Brady.
like Tim Hardaway. I love Tim Hardaway once back then.
Sure, he's shooting 20%, but he's making a lot of threes. The other thing, too, is so what we heard, too, is like, well, The NFL, and I understand, and this is how somebody asked me, Darren Smith asked me about this on San Diego Radio, and I said, here's the two things. The reason why we don't use the microchips for actual in-game purposes. It's just like for fun stats. You know, like Tyreek Hill ran 26 miles an hour. One, the two demographics that are important are the demographics of the NFL owners and the demographics of a lot of people who watch football. And I mean, you got a bunch of old, rich, white dudes in the first one. And then you got a bunch of baby boomers. They don't want the microchips. You can't take them chains away. They took their jibs. There would be the NFL caters to that older fan base a lot of times.
So you're telling me the job creation created by the chain gang is what's, what's keeping them?
That's a South Park joke.
That's it? Because they're providing jobs to, what's it, six people?
No, it's not
that. Is that what you're trying to claim right now?
No. It's a South Park joke.
Okay.
He goes,
so what's the math on that? Hold on. Is that 96 people, right? So let's just say all 32 teams are playing. That's 16 games times six. We've got 96 people
part-time who are
employed by the NFL, and they're too concerned about cutting out that portion of their labor force and not providing. That's what you're saying?
I like that idea, though. It's like,
is it interesting?
Ain't no robots taking new germs. You've never seen that South Park. You need to see it.
I've seen that South Park. And by the way, that was the robots one. There's plenty of other ones where they took our job.
It's so good. Gotta love it.
I'm more of a Family Guy kick of late. I feel like Family Guy has now taken over for South Park as far as pushing the boundaries of, like, is that too soon? Like, can you say that or joke about that, or is it too soon?
I don't know. I mean, like, and it aired on Paramount Plus, and you can watch it on Paramount Plus. I highly suggest you subscribe to Paramount Plus. I think you get a free month free if you go sign up right now. But you can go watch the pandemic special, South Park pandemic special. It aired, like, when everybody was locked down, they ran it. It was like Randy Marsh caused the pandemic by having relations with something called a pangolin. Sure, why not? Anyway,
dude, yeah,
boy, that we really got there fast. Microchip. So the demographics, the two demographics. That's what I was saying. And then the other thing too is that they claim that the microchips are not. They don't believe that they are accurate enough.
Well, which is more of the issue, right? Like, anyone who uses any sort of GPS tracking device or wearable when you work out. Like, I was just doing this because, you know, the people have the Whoop bands and people have, like, the Aura rings or whatever it's called. And I got a watch. Like, there's the Apple Watch. There's a Garmin watch. And I'm not going to say, like, what I've been using, how I've been trying to compare them. But I'm always for, like, all right, I'm here to kind of track some calorie counts and all that stuff. The sleeping stuff, I'm like, okay, I don't need a wearable device to tell me if I didn't sleep well. Because I'm pretty sure, right? Like, if you get blasted at a dinner, guess what? I know I'm probably not going to sleep well that night. Right. So I don't need my phone with an app to remind me that I'm hungover right now and I did not sleep well the night before.
Yeah, like, it's like
I got that message loud and clear when I woke up to go to the bathroom. at 2 a.m., okay? Yeah. I realized then, while I was still intoxicated, that it's not going to be a good morning.
It's like the screen time app when I turned it off because it would be like Sunday at 10 a.m. Your screen time is up 300% this week. It's like, hey, you know what, buddy? It's Sunday. Why don't you deliver that on Wednesday?
What do you think it was gonna be? Okay, huh? How AI? How little robot in my community? You know, Siri, Alexa, whatever your name is.
Yeah. You're the one. I'm on your screen. You're delivering me the news. Like, F you, dude. Like, it's just put it in the mail.
But back to the wearables. Like, so even in that, obviously, like, I'll go on a run and I can do like the Google Maps version of point to point and get an estimation, and then the run and get an estimation. And it's just like, it's always a little bit off, whether it's like the calories burned, the distance, like, there's even a setting where if you're running on a treadmill, it'll calculate the distance that you're running on the treadmill, how long, based on the pace, and I'm assuming my arm swing and the movement, right? The treadmill had me going at a pace where it was like, I don't know, an 8.5-minute mile. I was done with the mile in 7 minutes, and I was like, part of me wanted to be like, yep, my watch said I'm done. That was a mile, even though the treadmill's like, no, you lazy ass, you still have like another minute and a half of running to equate to that mile. Like, right. But anyway, like, that's the problem with the chips in the football. Like, hey, he broke the plane. They're on the 20-yard line. Like, it's a little bit off here. Like, the officials are like, oh, we just touchdown? Yeah. They're like, no, the dude, the guy, they fell down on the 20. Like, the ball's way back there.
Midfield. Yeah, like, what are you doing? Yeah. And that's, and you know that, like, so I mean, they, you know, next gen stats tweets out, he's 0.6 yards away. You know,
you know, the officials. The officials would be like, touchdown? Like, I am. Did someone call Roger? Like, I mean, I thought he fell on the 20, but the chips stand a touchdown. Let's give it to him.
That's a good point from Andy. Andy in the chat. There are also instances in the data where with the chips where they don't even get the correct ball. So like, you've got 50 footballs that you're using for this game. Like, maybe you got the K, like you've got the K ball, right? The kicking ball, and they're using the data to decide, you know, the chip to decide if it goes in between the uprights or not. And all of a sudden it's like, well, it appears that the field goal missed wide left and is on the bench right now. That's you know, like,
there's actually ways of counteracting that. And I won't go in too in depth in this because I don't want to be a D-bag. And like, for example, tweet something and then applaud my own tweet and like pat myself on the back. But I do have there's someone out there who did that recently. we'll explain after the show. There was a company that I was able to invest in. They were putting chips into basketballs. And so part of the way they went about actually, and what it provided was real-time stats. So, and you're kind of thinking to yourself, all right, there's multiple basketballs in a basketball game, not as much as footballs, but they also had wearables, and they also had the ability to, based on each net, be able to track that, which I assume you just kind of configure that on uprights, depending on the distance, or other portions of the field to then figure out which football it is, right? Because you're not going to have all those footballs moving around that much. You're going to have one that's going out in the middle of the field where it's going to be moving. So you either have static cameras or devices that are able to track that particular chip that's active, or you tap into some of the GPS trackers that are already within some of the equipment players are wearing. So if for example, looked at that Sam Hubbard play, you're saying, oh, well, how are they able to track Sam Hubbard's, you know, speed when he's running? Because he's got the football with them. No, it's because they're already wearing GPS tracking devices, yeah, right? And that's why they knew Mark Andrews at 250 pounds almost hit 21 miles per hour, which, side note, ridiculous, like absolute gazelle for a guy's 250. So that's where you would get all of those to work together in unison. Much like this particular piece of technology, they were able to determine like what was an assist, who shot, who, you know, who rebounded the ball, if it was a steal. They were able to track all that because the wearable device in the player, but also the chip in the ball, and then using that all together.
And if I recall, I said this, and I don't want to, I'm pretty sure this is right. It's been 11 years, so I could be wrong. But I believe in the 2011 CBA, there's actually a lot of like some issues with the NFL wanted to implement all this tracking and more, you know, more data gathering. And the union was, as most unions are going to be against management, hesitant to give, you know, to allow the ability to track, like, you know.
Yeah, well, and this is the reason, you know, it's our data. You know, it's our bodies, it's our data. Yep. And you could imagine like that stuff could be used for and against you based on, you know, how you work over the course of a season,
from
everything
else. Standpoint. Yeah.
Sure. And it should be used to then point out, you know, hey, this guy needs more rest. Like, he was running at 22 miles per hour throughout practice or in a game, maybe 22 or something like that. But then now in week whatever, he's at 20, right? Like, what's the drop off? Is he hurt? Is he not rest enough? Is he not recovering? But, you know, there's a number of issues why that stuff never really worked, because really coaches, they say they look at it, they don't really look at it. What happens is you practice and you go hard and all that, and then the guy who gets shafted is the strength coach. It's like, okay, I saw how much you ran at practice. You really needed rest, so I guess we're just going to do nothing now for your strength training. just go recover, do this, you know, foam roll, whatever. That's usually how that ends up working out. Because, and the other thing is, as a player, like as a quarterback, for example, if you got a new concept and you're working with a guy who hasn't run that route that often or the timing of that particular play, you throw it a couple times, you don't feel as confident. Hey, run it a couple more. Well, the player is going to do it. You're going to do it. So you feel good about that. You know, if you know, you're being asked then to go condition or do something extra in the weight room, that's probably the part where you're like, I'm going to miss that. So I ensure that I get the reps I need to in practice. Right. But look, it's like this in the business world. You know this. Having control of the data is one of the biggest things, so that you can figure out what you want to do with it and take from it. And that was one of the biggest stopping points, I think, at that point, is they just weren't really sure how it was going to be used, and they didn't want to give away something without getting something back. And so clearly the union want to protect their data, especially for the players.
Yeah. By the way, I really appreciate that. Was the nicest thing you ever said to me. You're like in the business world, and you know this. So it's like I'm a biz guy. Yeah, you know.
You're a savvy guy.
Yeah. I'm a savvy guy. That's right. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, maybe we'll mention Aaron Rodgers' comments.
Oh.
Maybe we'll talk about Tom Brady, and maybe we'll talk about how we've all been there.
What about a one-way ticket to Thailand?
Oh, we talk about Cliff Kingsbury too. Next. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds dog food and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
All right, if Brady Quinn, if you had a one-way ticket.
One-way ticket?
Yes. Anywhere in the world. Like, you have $27 million. Although, I mean, Mike Florio, I guess, like, wrote a post claiming that Michael Bidwell could sue Cliff Kingsbury because he's not trying hard enough to get a job. Like, he's like flaunting the fact that he's, it's like, it's not happening, Mike.
That to me is the dumbest thing that would never hold up. Right. Like, hey, bud, you agreed to it 9 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, you agreed to the contract extension.
You fired me.
Get out of it. Like, that's on you, man.
Yeah. Where would you go with your one-way ticket?
I don't know. I'm trying to think about some places I've never been that I'd want to go see. I mean, Australia seems awesome. I would love to maybe go tool around there. It's so far away that you probably have to, with the travel to get there, just hang out there for a while.
Flush and reverse it down there.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see that too. You know, I guess you could probably just configure a toilet to go the opposite way here, but maybe not.
Could you?
I don't know. I'm sure you could figure out a way of doing it, Will.
Oh, man, man.
You couldn't just shoot water out in a bowl and make it go the opposite way of how it currently trains? What are you talking about here?
I don't know.
Is that complicated?
I don't know. No, it doesn't seem like it. Okay. Then why are there no left-handed toilets then? All toilets are right-handed.
It's because the majority of the human population is right-handed.
Yeah, because all those...
But by the way, what do you consider the ones where it's like right behind you in the middle? What do you consider that? That's neither left or right.
I just use my foot with those. I don't touch those with my hand. Are you talking about the
bump? No, I'm talking about like the circular ones you got to push down.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, that's called cancel culture. Yeah,
because they were so afraid of offending left-handed folks.
Left-handed.
But again, I'll give this tip out to people.
There's left-handed freaks. Drink too much.
All right, when you drink too much, you're a little concerned about passing out in that spot. You just use the toilet backwards, and that's where you rest up top, so you can just flush whenever you want. It's right there. You're resting here on the top of the toilet, and it's right there.
You have a big week or something?
What?
I'm just kidding. Billy's left-handed. Like I said, the left-handed freaks out there.
So, Billy, do you feel discriminated against because there aren't many left-handed toilets besides the one that's like right behind you in the middle, which I guess is as left-handed as it gets?
Yeah, I definitely feel discriminated. you know, us left-handed people get treated very foully in this country. So hate
that
to
is
see
true.
It.
Like, I'll be honest with you too. I heard a coach one time be like, when I drafted that guy, let's draft a left-handed guy. You gotta flip all the play sheet and all that stuff around. I was like, yeah, I never really thought of that. That would probably be a little more difficult. And then like all the guy you invested all the money in at left tackle, now it's quite as
he's protecting the opposite of the blind spot or blind side. Yeah. Crazy.
I should say though, I'm a little ambidextrous because I do a lot of sports things with my right hand, but I do write with my left. So
yeah, I think in the end, like you're just a heightened individual compared to the rest of us because you had to like go against the grain to learn everything. So you're definitely like more of a Renaissance man, most likely.
You're amphibious, to quote Charles Shackelford. Old NC State guys, he's asking like, why do you shoot with your left hand? He's like, I'm amphibious. What? He's like, no, it's ambidextrous. He said amphibious. Moving along. I would take my one-way ticket to I've actually never traveled to Europe, so I would probably go do that.
Hey dude, you can't just go to a continent and then it's just like that's it.
Asia.
Going to Europe.
Asia. That was a continent joke. I would go to the British Virgin Islands, I think, and just kick it around there for a while.
That's it? You can get like a cruise deal and go there like tomorrow. That's your one-way ticket? The British Virgin. I'm sure they're really nice. I don't mean to offend people, but like, my God, that's your one-way ticket to a place that like you could probably find right now. Billy, please look this up.
Charlotte.
A cruise to the British Virgin Islands. See if you can find an all-inclusive trip for like $5.99 for like a 3-night, 4-day deal. The airplane. I mean, it might be like $1,000 now because you know traveling on airplanes is so expensive to get there. But seriously, Billy, look up an all-inclusive trip to BB on a cruise. There has to be one that's like really cheap.
All right, let's move.
I cannot believe that. That's okay.
I was just thinking about somewhere nice I'd like to go. Fine. You know what? I go to Ireland.
I've been there. I'm not against that. It's awesome. Like, the people are like super Irish nice.
People. You don't like Irish people, huh? Do you?
I love Irish people.
Don't like Catholics or Irish people, I bet, do you?
They're the kindest people there. And by the way, like they know how to have a good time. They know how to like have conversation, talk to one another. I love it over there.
I would just go around and play golf and drink whiskey and ride bikes and chat with people in pubs. I'd come back really fat.
Yeah, there's a lot of drinking involved. All right, let's move on. Do we have anything else?
Hold on, Billy's got a price in this. Ah, for crying out loud. $521? I
get it. Yes. I knew it. That's your one-way ticket, you cheap ass.
I've come so close to dropping an S-bomb on this podcast like 3 times.
You're so cheap. That's where you want to go. Look at that. Is that 7 nights? Is that what that means? 8 9? Oh my God. Are you serious?
Stroke out.
And just to let everybody know, this is Royal Caribbean, great cruise line. I have cruise line there my whole life. So great. Very upscale. So
yeah, great cruise line. See? Look at that. That's where your one-way ticket is.
Whatever.
Now I want to go to like Bali or somewhere like remote.
Oh, I'm going to do Bali. My parents go to Bali. My parents have been to Bali a couple times. This
is of course, that's incredible. A humble brag. Get out of here. We got to transition.
I've never been there.
So relatable. My parents have been to Bali.
Nobody in this podcast thinks I'm relatable. So Tom Brady. Let's talk about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers because we probably only got like 5 or 10 more minutes.
Yep.
Let's do 10 minutes on Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Brady, free agent now, gave an emotional press conference. I don't think he ruled out. He didn't.
It was emotional.
Somebody
he said goodbye to the media. I mean,
he's out. He's done in Tampa, right?
I mean, that press conference and especially the way he left it off, it might lead you to think that. I don't know. I mean, there's rumors that Byron Leftwich, they might move on from him. I'd heard from some folks he wasn't, you know, overly impressed with the direction the offense went with Byron calling the plays. And I guess it just goes to show you too, like for people who thought, oh, when Bruce Arians kept saying, oh, it's all Byron. It's like, no, it's not. Like clearly Bruce Arians had an impact, not only in that offense, but the play calling and the way the plays were called and what plays were being called. Because if you ask Tom Brady, like at 45, he's not going to go out there and just want to run the football. Like, I'm like, hey, dude, I'm not – he's going to throw the football as much as humanly possible, and just so happens the last 2 years and this year in particular, threw the ball more than ever. So, yeah. You know, maybe with Byron Leftwich, if he's not there and they bring in someone who he'd be more of a fan of, maybe that entices him to come back. It's just, you know, I think you gotta look at what options are out there for you. And I don't know how many there are. I mean, obviously the Raiders are one of the teams. Everyone wants to connect the dots with Josh McDaniels. They have Davante Adams. They've got some pieces. But what's the point then? Is it to win a Super Bowl? Because I don't know that their roster is any better than the other three teams in the division. Obviously not the Chiefs. And then you got to deal with the Chargers and the Broncos, who I think should be improved.
You ain't winning the AFC West at 8-9. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's not the case. So that's not an easy spot. You know, I do wonder if, like, the Miami ship has sailed, A, because of how well Tua played. They've made a commitment to him, too, for next year. Take that for what it's worth. But also because, like, once all that stuff came out about Sean Payton and Tom Brady and the meddling, it was like, well, they found out we can't do this anymore.
Right.
You know, like, if Stephen Ross just figured out a way of doing it this year, wouldn't people be like, hold on a second. Like, you can't do this. Like, yeah. We already found out about this elaborate scheme. Like, Brian Flores already told us about this. Like, you can't just do it now, like, a year later. Like, everyone forgot about it. So I don't know that Miami's an option. And then it's like, all right, where else are you looking? The Jets? I just can't see him going to the Jets. And so, I don't know. I mean, you look at some of the places, like Carolina. Is he going to go there?
So I was on Charlotte Radio this morning. And the Mac Attack, they asked me about Sean Payton and Tom Brady as a combination in Carolina. That feels like a bridge too far for me. Now, if David Tepper he's meeting with Sean Payton this week. If he says, I'll give you $25 million to be the Panthers coach, and you have unlimited resources and unlimited ability to go get a star quarterback if you want, whether it's Rodgers, Brady, trade up in the draft, whatever you want to do, you do whatever you got to do, carte blanche. All the resources you need are at your disposal. You can do whatever you want. Then maybe that's a possibility. But I just don't really see that happening. Like, Sean Payton in Carolina, we're coaching against New Orleans twice a year.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. And even then, like, is it about money? I mean, if you're Tom Brady, if he pays you $50 million a year, like, let's finish this thing out, I'll give you a two-year deal, I'll give you $50 million a year. Is that enough to go, oh, okay. Like, I don't know how all that's going to work out. He's got some personal, you know, stuff going on, so –
I would think he'd be less likely to walk away from football given his personal situation.
I think if that was holding up in the past, it's obviously not now. So, you know, it opens things up to where he could go. People have shot around Tennessee because of his relationship with Mike Vrabel. Maybe that's a potential shot. You got Derrick Henry still there. So it takes the pressure off. But it kind of goes back to what I said a moment ago. Like, you're Tom Brady. Are you really going to keep playing this game at this age, put your body through all of it to turn around and hand off to Derrick Henry?
Right.
And so it comes down to, like, what his motivation is, what he's looking to get out of the experience. If it's a Super Bowl, it's kind of tough. I mean, the Titans do have a good roster when healthy. They obviously are in a much more winnable division than the AFC, but, like, you'd almost rather go to the NFC if you could, considering, like, look at if you looked at the quarterbacks coming to the wild card round, you're like, all right, like, Tom Brady's in it. Like, he should be able to find his path through. It didn't work out, but
I mean, you had this down as a topic, and sideways into it, but, like, the AFC is loaded for the next 10 years with quarterbacks. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. I mean, when you looked at, was that coming into the wild card round, I had that list of quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, it's Lawrence, Mahomes, Hurts. Oh, no, that's Hurts is an NFC. Sorry. Allen, Burrow.
Well, yeah, this is the quarterback still remaining. The average age is 25. The oldest is Dak, I think, at 29. I mean, the NFL has always found themselves in a good position when you have some legends move on who are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. And right now, like, just look at right now in the playoffs scenario, in the divisional round, you've got all these young quarterbacks who have played really well and seem to be the faces of these franchises moving on. And it has to be the youngest average age that we've ever seen for quarterbacks in the divisional round, right? 25.3 or points, you know, something crazy like that. It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show Tuesday said, like, yeah, I can still play at a high level. And then was asked about, you know, is it Green Bay or somewhere else? Sort of, you know, did what Aaron Rodgers likes to do as the offseason begins for him, and say that, you know, it could be somewhere else. Who knows? Who's to say? I mean, it's just very, a very, it's I'm not saying he's trying to draw attention to himself, but just he's yeah. putting it out in the universe.
I think this is a trying year. I mean, yeah. for him, if you look at, you know, how things worked out, they really never found that true groove. I think as the season wore on, obviously Christian Watson got better and kind of stepped into a better role. But it's hard. They battled some injuries. They battled offensively, just struggling mightily. And a lot of the people and the things that the organization did were on account of him. They're the things that he wanted. And he wasn't able to replicate, you know, the past couple seasons as an MVP. So I'm sure it was stressful. It was frustrating. It was exhausting. And he probably just wants to, you know, try to find some clarity in how he feels. I ultimately think that he comes back as part of the Packers in part because, like, they're not going to move on from him. I think it'd be hard to do that. So I feel like a trade at this point probably is unlikely. They've already made their bed and agreed to this contract with him. But even more than that, if you're him, you know, what other place, if it's about winning a Super Bowl and trying to get that second Super Bowl, is there a team that's rosters better suited than the Packers that you could go to? I mean, we just talked about destinations for Tom Brady. Let's go back over them. Las Vegas, how's that a better destination for you? Maybe you could say San Francisco. Like, that's the one that I think both Tom Brady and Rodgers might covet and look at. But they've got a young guy on his rookie deal who's Mr. Irrelevant that's playing really well for them. Maybe they see a young Tom Brady and Brock Purdy. I don't know. And they still have Trey Lance who's hanging around. I mean, Garoppolo's a free agent, so it kind of clears that up. But, you know, you got to figure out – you got to give up assets to get Rodgers. He's under contract. Brady you could get for – you know, not free, but you got to sign him to a deal. So there's all the different nuances to how that would work. I think both Brady and Rodgers probably look at San Francisco as like, yeah, dude, everyone who plays for Kyle Shanahan just puts up yards, points, and wins. So yeah. why would I want to be a part of that at the end of my career? And especially for two guys who are NorCal guys. It makes all the sense in the world. I just think it'd be hard for the Packers to want to trade him to a
in the conference
opponent that yeah. you're going to probably see if you want to make a run to the playoffs at some point.
I mean, a team that's beaten your butt in the playoffs several times in the past few years.
Yeah, I can't see it. I can't see it playing out any other way other than Rodgers coming back to Green Bay if he comes back.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting. You know, he was able to watch what Brett Favre did down towards the end to him. And he's very different from Brett, obviously, in how he discusses things with the media and handles himself. But he's kind of doing the same thing now to Jordan Love. And it's just interesting that I'm sure he didn't appreciate it. And I'm sure Jordan Love doesn't appreciate it. And yet we're seeing history repeat itself. So that's the one kind of takeaway that I have on it. And I look far, you know, he's not going to be like Favre. He draws out to training camp and comes in a bunch of like mud boots and something with a fishing pole. He's like, well, I was down in Mississippi fishing. I was like, you know what? I want to come back and play. It is tantalizing, though, to think that the Jets, which aren't in the NFC, and obviously, Woody Johnson's already said, like, hey, do whatever it takes, pay whatever it takes. If they bring him in, now you're starting to say, all right, that's a good roster. He could win with that roster. It's New York. Not sure how he'd look at that and the media there. But that would be a team that would immediately become a contender. And I think has the personnel around the quarterback position to do so. I have no idea what the Nathaniel Hackett interview was a part of. I mean – if that was part of the thought, like, oh, if we bring in Nathaniel Hackett,
oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, thought about that.
Well, yeah, that didn't work too well in Denver, yeah, exactly. If that was a thought or that part of the conversation. And I'm not sure that's easy to sell to your fan base. So
you're like, hey, let's bring in the guy who just got fired because he couldn't get Rodgers to come, and we'll sign him, and then Rodgers will come join us. All right, we'll get out of here. That's time okay. for you to go. You okay. got to go do your
thing. Do you want to talk about anything else like that's on your mind? I know.
No.
Do you send me something about NC State's home opener next year?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Did you like me tagging you all over the place on social media? I bet that was annoying.
Oh, is that what you did?
Yeah.
Well, you texted it to me.
No, I tweeted and Instagram tagged you.
Oh.
So come get this L at Brady Quinn on Instagram.
Wow. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Pretty
aggressive for somebody who's an underdog against Sam Hartman and Notre
Dame. Yeah, so you're a home underdog, huh? Versus Hartman, who's... He's done all right against NC State, hasn't he? Oh
God, he gives us nightmare fuel. That's pretty cool, though.
Nightmare fuel.
I wish.
I don't know. Would you say that he's got a better roster at Notre Dame?
Y'all be favored coming in, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Although we got Armstrong from Virginia, along with his old OC, Robert Anai,
which is part of the package deal because that's when Brenner Armstrong really balled out for Virginia a couple of years ago when he had an eye.
So. Yeah, runner up. So that'd be
package deal.
Yeah, package deal. You know, it sucks though that you will, because you're a hard worker and a superstar on that Fox show that you do. You'll be somewhere like you won't be in Raleigh for the game. Because it's not
of course not. Well, it's also because Fox won't have that game. So,
well, I was just saying, but it'd be fun if you came here
to Raleigh,
to Raleigh, and we pounce. You can have some toughies
to Raleigh. You almost say like Raleigh, not Raleigh. To Raleigh,
Raleigh,
Raleigh.
You know, who's coming to
Raleigh
tomorrow night is Anthony Jeselnik, comedian.
Oh, you see that? He's got some controversial humor.
Oh, he does. Right, yeah.
Oh, he does.
You know, he was on. He and Greg Rosenthal, who works at NFL media, does around. They had a Jeselnik and Rosenthal podcast that was like all hosted by the NFL for a year, and the NFL was like, you know what, we may have made a mistake. It's like, okay, so I had to move it over to Comedy Central. But it was,
be careful about what you venture into entertainment wise. Exactly.
All right, you gotta go hang out with Pete Prisco. Congratulations on coming to Raleigh. Your boss.
Hopefully, have a better week of picks. Yeah. And we'll see you in Rally.
All right, buddy. See you, Brady.
All right. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.